Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we bring you COVID-19 updates, including those announced this week to frequent traveler programs. Burning Man in the Desert has been canceled, and in a sign of truly desperate times, and as an Easter gift to the masses, DoubleTree Hotels releases their chocolate chip cookie recipe.
Excuse me for a minute.
Where are you going?
Well, to get that that cookie recipe, you know, there's a good chance that they're going to that might go away before the show's over.
Oh, no. Definitely one of the world's great chocolate chip cookies. That is for sure.
And they give them to you warm at the front desk. At 3:20 in our Smarter Traveler segment, we talk about refunds that you're entitled to. Road warriors are freaking out about what happens to their frequent flyer traveler status, and we have answers.
Everything in the travel world is turned upside down, and when that happens, you need to talk to a seasoned expert, someone who has been there before and can offer some insights. We have just such a man, Ed Perkins, bringing 40 years of experience to help us figure out what is coming next, up at 5:35.
Local restaurants hit hard by closure orders have been getting creative to get you to come by and have a takeout. At 3:50, we highlight a couple of local eateries and what they're offering.
Mark Hoffman here, Tom Romano there, Clayton Whitehead joining us from across the room, having fun while stuck at home. We are the Not Traveling So Much Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
To Alaska, I go north, the rush is on.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here at our new time, 5 o'clock. And we'll be here until we're pretty well out of the woods with this COVID-19 situation, and then we'll get ourselves back into the studio. Mark is at his office. I'm upstairs in my studio. Are we doing okay, Luis? I know we've been having some fidelity issues. Are we fine on this particular line for the moment? Okay, all right. Mark, welcome. How you doing, my friend?
What I'm doing good. To... Did you notice something when we did the headlines there? We've probably confused half the people listening to us. When the show was on at the same time at the 3 o'clock hour for years and years and years, so the guy who wrote the headlines, that would be me, wrote them all for a 3 o'clock start.
Well, you know, it's hard. I recall when we had a different time slot and made the jump to the 3 o'clock, and it took us a while to get used to that.
Do you think they're moving us out? We started at noon, and then we went to 3, and now we're at 5. Pretty soon, if they put us on the overnight shift, I think that'll be the sign. Listen, we usually talk about places that you or I have been at this point in the show, but of course nobody's been anywhere. And last week, we promised, I do this occasionally, as you know, Tom, I promise people something on the program and they never get to it. And that happened last week, as several people pointed out to me right after the program was over. Chris Elliott and his family, Chris is a consumer advocate, a regular guest on the program, and writes for USA Today, among other folks. And Chris is in France. He has been sending back some updates and things like that, and so we had been sharing those, and last week we meant to share one and forgot to. So let me share last week's update, and then let me share you this week's update, which will bring you up to date. Last week, Chris said, you know, there are pockets of resistance, if not to the coronavirus, then to the French authorities with their many rules. In front of a restaurant that sells takeout falafel, I saw a group of young men arguing in Arabic. In a square, one or two residents stubbornly sat on park benches, even though they were not supposed to, enjoying the spring weather. Every evening at 8 o'clock, residents open their apartment windows and break into applause. They're clapping for the healthcare workers, heroically putting their lives on the line to fight coronavirus. I believe they're doing that at 7 o'clock in New York City every night. They're also clapping for each other, applauding themselves for surviving another day in captivity. The pizza restaurant across the street stays open after 8, and drivers continue to deliver food to hungry residents. It turns out you can impose a pizza curfew on delivery on pizza in France. The people wouldn't stand for it. When people are released from their homes and the stores reopen, it wouldn't surprise me to see a celebration that will rival any this city has ever seen. And he talks about May the 8th, which is the day when Europe celebrates the end of World War II. And so this week, Chris sends this update, Tom. He says, "Hi, Mark. It's been a strange week here. Maybe we're not at the halfway point in the States, which I think we're kind of sort of getting there. This update came yesterday. But I think we are here in France. The curve is starting to flatten. We're not seeing as many police officers on the street, although we got stopped once on our way to the grocery store. There are more people out. It feels like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but it's a very, very strange feeling, I must tell you. We've decided to stay until at least May the 9th and may try to get back to Arizona after that. If you remember, they were going to stay a year when they took off in December. But I'm curious and may try to stay a little longer." So anyway, that's our update from the Elliott family, Chris and his three teenage children traveling in Europe. They're stuck in France right now after going to Spain, and they were hoping to go to Italy. I think that's kind of off the docket from now. So hopefully we'll get a live update from him in a couple of weeks. How's that sound, Mr. Thomas?
All right. This is a real drama.
And, well, it is, because, you know, he's like Mr. We can travel anywhere, and, you know, I've got three kids, and we're adaptable and stuff like that. But they kind of got themselves into a situation where they can't move around at all. Doesn't make any difference how many people you know or anything like that. You're not coming and you're not going. All right, let's get, shall we get into the travel news for today?
Yeah, let's do that. At the top of every travel guide, 7 o'clock, we do the travel news. All right. What you got for us?
All right, let's see here, Thomas. We mentioned in the headlines, Burning Man has been canceled. The big spectacle in the desert, the city in the desert, was officially canceled on Friday. So if you were planning on attending that, you'll have to wait one more year for Burning Man in the desert. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention on April the 9th extended its no-sail order for all cruise ships for 100 days or until the COVID-19 pandemic is deemed over. The CDC director says they're working with the cruise line industry to address the health and safety of crew at sea, as well as communities surrounding U.S. cruise ship points of entry. Right now, Tom, there are still 18 cruise ships out at sea, some of them looking fairly desperately for a home. Hawaii, this is kind of interesting. In Hawaii now, if you come in and you're not a resident, or you don't have... if you're a visitor to Hawaii, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks when you arrive. So I guess some people are not getting this, and they've decided to just get on an airplane and head over to Hawaii and see what happens when they get there. The mayor of Hawaii, the mayor of Kauai, the island of Kauai, called a traveler arrested for flouting the quarantine rules. He invented a new word. He called him a COVIDiot. For flying to the islands, had absolutely no place to stay, figured that somehow they would allow him to stay there. They put him on a plane and sent him right back home. So this has apparently happened to a half a dozen or so people who have taken advantage of low airfares to get to Hawaii, figuring that the islands would take care of them when they get there. The islands would like you to know that you will be on the next airplane headed home. Americans fleeing big cities for little cities like Hawaii. DoubleTree cookies. This is big news. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you can find the official chocolate chip cookie recipe from DoubleTree Cookies. And Tom, as you know, for years, DoubleTree has given one of these cookies to you at the front desk every time that when you check into the hotel. Usually they come out of a little drawer and they're warm. They are some of the world's most decadent chocolate chip cookies, and the entire recipe is waiting for you there at TravelGuysRadio.com if you would like to take advantage of it, if you are a chocolate chip cookie fan. I'm kind of an oatmeal raisin fan myself. Tom, what's your favorite?
Having some technical difficulties here. Whatever kind of cookie is available.
Whatever.
chocolate chip and a peanut butter guy.
I see. Okay. Delta Airlines has asked their flight attendants. This is a little bit alarming. Of course, some folks in aviation have been coming down with the COVID-19 virus. Delta Airlines last week at one point told its flight attendants who tested positive not to tell fellow crew members of their condition nor to post it on social media, according to an internal memo, which is a little bit, just a bit strange. This memo was sent to Delta's 25,000 flight attendants on Thursday. By the weekend, though, Delta had backed off, said that was a misunderstanding, that was not their intent to cause confusion among flight attendants. We'll see. But anyway, they have kind of backed off that a little bit. They say that they just want to make sure that they have the opportunity to contact other folks who might have been in those flight attendants' flight groups before it was released to the public. So we'll see. Bob Iger says Disney parks will be considering special screening for guests for illnesses when the parks reopen. It's entirely possible that you could be hit in the forehead with one of those thermometers and have your temperature checked. Iger says that when we return to some semblance of normal, people will have to feel comfortable that they're safe. Some of that could come in the form ultimately of a vaccination, but ultimately in the absence of that, it could be at some point we add a component that takes people's temperature as a, for instance, for entering into the park. And finally, in a slightly lighter note, Tom, you know, when you get on the airplane and there's a little delay at the gate and, you know, it takes them a little while to push back, and boy, you just kind of wish that you'd gone and used the restroom before they'd all started that whole process. And you're thinking, well, it'll be okay because we'll get in the sky here pretty soon. But boy, that goes on and on. So a lady at O'Hare, she decided that she just couldn't wait. She was on an Aer Lingus flight, and after her plane had been on the tarmac for about 30 minutes, she got up to go to the bathroom. And not too long after that, she heard one or more crew members banging on the door, telling her to return to her seat. She said, just a minute. And a few seconds later, they burst into the restroom and dragged her out of the seat and took her down back to her chair. Let's just say she was kind of still indisposed at the time. So all I have to say to you folks who are thinking about getting up when the plane is on the tarmac on an active runway, as they say, I probably wouldn't do it unless I was ready to be presented publicly. And that, sir, is your travel news for today.
All right. Hey, by the way, I'm trying a new technology here that makes me sound like I'm on the phone. So bear with me because I am actually on the phone. So at any rate, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here at 5 today. Coming up, we got all kinds of good stuff. We're going to be talking with Ed Perkins at the bottom of the hour. Ed is a veteran traveler and is going to share his thoughts and insight into what's going on. Clayton Whitehead joins us a little bit later on. But stick around. We got lots of goodies. Chocolate chip cookies coming up.
Log on to KFBK.com.
Holding in the Nazareth, I was feeling about half past dead. Just need some place where I can lay my head.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hey, mister, can you tell
20 minutes past the hour. Mark Hoffman here with Tom Romano. Doing the social distancing thing. I'm at the Sports Leisure Vacations office. Tom is at Romano Studios. Luis is at KFBK. And we are here to make you a smarter traveler here at about 20 minutes after the hour. That music, by the way, that you were just hearing, and you'll hear a little bit more of it when we go out at the bottom of the hour. I did that on purpose. In addition to that DoubleTree chocolate chip cookie recipe that you can find at TravelGuysRadio.com, do not miss that, especially if you know somebody who likes chocolate chip cookies. That song you just heard is called The Wait from a group called The Band. It's not a new song. It's about 25, 30 years old. This is something, if you go to Travel Guys Radio, you'll find this week that I've put a variety of things up there, virtual places that you can visit, things that you might enjoy doing if you can't travel. This is a musical piece done with folks from all over the world. And I promise you, if you go and pull this up on your computer, it's at Travel Guys Radio. There's a list of all the things on the show. It's on the right-hand side. It's down about two-thirds of the way there. It's a long list today. The Wait by The Band, and listen to it. It's a wonderful montage of all types of musicians from all around the world, all playing the same song with an amazing job of editing done. And if you're just looking for something that would uplift you a little bit, today on Easter, I think this would do it. And my suspicion is if you go there and you see it, like me, you will probably be sending it to a bunch of your friends. All right, let's see here.
Yeah, it's a great piece. The song itself is a classic, but the way they were able to get people from all over the world to be playing and at the same time. I mean, that's what it looks like. It looks like they all got together at different locations and just did it, but I don't necessarily think that's exactly how it was done.
I'm not sure how they pulled that off, but whoever did the editing on that and made it all work is, I've just never seen anything like it. So go to travelguysradio.com and you can find it. It's under The Weight, done by the band, and it's really a cool musical piece. Okay, let's talk a little bit about frequent flyer programs and frequent stay programs with hotels. It's a frequent subject on this program. We have lots of folks who are listeners who are frequent travelers, who are road warriors, or just frequent leisure travelers who have favorite hotel chains or airlines or, you know, places they frequent a lot. And so they get tied to the frequent guest programs for those entities. And now, by not being able to travel for several months, folks who have higher levels of status in those programs are wondering, how are they going to make it next year? What are the suppliers going to do to compensate for the fact that we can't buy their products for a period of time? And how will that affect status for next year? Because if you're a road warrior, that's something that you're really concerned about. And even if you're a leisure traveler, everybody likes that extra bump or to be eligible for that upgrade or get a little nicer room at the hotel. So last week we told you that Delta Airlines had extended their frequent flyer elite status, and we told you on the program last Sunday that it would probably be a matter of days or maybe hours before the other airlines matched. We were kind of half right. United Airlines actually had matched before we had gone, Delta's plan, before we had gone on the air. So basically, if you are a United or a Delta flyer for next year, your whatever status you have this year, you will have next year. With United, they have made it easy for you to move up the ladder, or if you're not on the ladder yet, to get on it by reducing the requirements by 50% to attain various status levels for next year. So go to the airline websites for more details on this, or if you're interested in getting into this more. But just know that United has given you an option for those of you who are not frequent travelers who might travel a little bit in the second half of the year. You might be able to be able to improve your status. American Airlines has not offered any updates yet, or is at least the last time that I checked on yesterday afternoon. So you'll have to wait for those. Southwest program, of course, is a little bit simpler than the other carriers. So that's the airline update. Thomas, are you back with us?
I am here.
Okay. You are. I know you're a Southwest guy. When you travel and you stay in hotels, where do you generally stay?
Well, you know, I was part of the Starwoods group.
Yeah.
So, you know, Starwoods was generally my choice. A lot of times, now that Marriott and Bonvoy is on board, there are so many choices I can't make a decision any longer.
So you'd probably be, at this point, being an old Starwood Sheraton guy, while you're probably a Marriott guy first?
Well, you know, I like the Residence Inn.
Ah, good choice. Kind of a long-term stay property with a lot of amenities. I would say Residence Inn and Hilton Garden Inns are my two favorite mid-range properties. Anyway, the hotel groups, what are they doing to extend status? Most of the hotel major brands have announced, except for IHG, which is Crowne Plaza and Holiday Inn, have announced that indeed they will extend your status into next year. There's also a lot of little odds and ends that have to do with hotel and airline elite status. In some cases, some folks receive a free night in a hotel or a free companion ticket on an airline. And so, of course, the question is, well, if that was about to expire or it's expiring in this time when people are not traveling, what's going to happen? Know that the airlines and the hotels with these certificates and stuff, they're not actual money. So as much as hotels and airlines are allergic to giving people actual money, they're not allergic to giving them virtual money or vouchers or certificates or the like. So the hotel chains have indicated, as have the airlines, that if you had something that was going to expire during this time period, they're going to give you an extension. But please, if you have something like that, rather than waiting until the day before you're going to travel 6 months down the road, you might want to give the airlines or the hotel chains a call now. They've gotten off of their basically, you know, backed up against the wall with incoming phone calls, so they're not quite as crushed now. And you could call them and clarify exactly what those refund, what those policies are in terms of what might be available to you or how you can use some of the benefits that you have already lined up. So that's kind of important. You might want to just check in and make sure that whatever it is that you heard or you thought was exactly what's happening, because the airlines, which were being kind of penny pinchers in the beginning, have been told by Congress to back off a little bit. And I will tell you that this week I had a couple of United Airlines tickets where I was given vouchers, accepted the vouchers, ended up with quite a lot of United Airlines voucher credit. And so this week I called United Airlines back and said, gee, it's kind of come to my attention that I should have had an option for a cash refund on some of these. And folks, and they said, yes, Mr. Hoffman, you should have. And they processed the cash refund right away. So if that's something, if you wish a cash refund and you, if your flight was canceled, then you're owed a cash refund. And if you believe that you're in that situation, then sometimes you have to be a little bit persistent. But I'll tell you that the airlines and the hotels have backed off a little bit from where they were standing just a week ago, perhaps feeling a little bit more pressure from folks. So be persistent, know your rights, and be persistent. And hopefully that will make you just a little bit smarter traveler. So coming up after the break, Tom, we're going to connect with Ed Perkins.
I can't wait. It's been a while since we've talked to Ed, see what's going on in his life. Let me see here. What do we got left here, Luis?
Tom One has minute. Got, yeah, we got just a little less than a minute, Tom. Ed, of course, longtime travel writer, used to write for the Consumer Reports travel newsletter back in the 90s, still writes for Smarter Travel and for Tribune News. And Ed is going to join us and talk a little bit about not only what's going on now, but based on his experience, what's going to happen when travel comes back. I suspect that it's going to come back in sections and not all at once, but Ed should be able to give us some input on how what travel is going to look like 6 months or a year down the road, since he's been with us for a while.
That's going to be interesting. I don't think anybody really knows what any of this is going to look like when it comes back. Travel, your first trip to a restaurant, being able to go places, and you know, the first thing I want to do is get together with people I haven't seen in a while and give them a big hug. All of that and more coming up. Not the hug thing, but Ed Perkins.
Stay well.
The top U.S. infectious disease scientist, Dr. Anthony Fauci. A New York Times report saying President Trump was advised to institute social distancing measures in late February, but did not for weeks. Fauci was asked about it on CNN's State of the Union.
We look at it from a pure health standpoint. We make a recommendation. Often the recommendation is taken. Sometimes it's not. But it is what it is. We are where we are right now.
The administration pushing back, the White House telling ABC News that the president took bold action to protect Americans. Hospital admissions in New York lessening, infections flattening out, but still over 700 deaths a day. Brooklyn Funeral Director Doris Amen.
We are upside down. We have never seen anything like this. We are deluged and we're turning away families, which I am very disheartened to do.
Chuck Sievert's 93.1 KFBK.
But there's some great one-liners going around, COVID-19 one-liners. Here's one of them that I kind of like that one of my travelers sent to me. Classified ad. Single man with toilet paper seeks woman with hand sanitizer for good clean fun. Thought that was kind of cute. Speaking of good clean fun, joining us on the phone now, all the way from Southern Oregon, is Ed Perkins. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon to you guys.
Well, how is everything in Southern Oregon?
Well, I think it's about the same as it is down there, although so far we've had pretty light hit on the coronavirus. Very few deaths and even a very small number of infections.
Does it seem a little bit, Ed, like the way I know in Washington they had a problem with a senior home to start with that kind of inflated their numbers, but it does seem like, and you look at the numbers and the maps and everything, the three West Coast states seem to be not only ahead of the curve, but just ahead of the game in general. Does it kind of feel that way to you too?
Yeah, and I think it's in part because of the fact that our three respective governors were a little bit faster on the uptake than some of their colleagues in the rest of the country.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. It's definitely a good time to live on the West Coast. When is your next scheduled excursion? I know you're still gallivanting around the planet. When were you next scheduled to travel?
Actually, at this point, I'm trying to get out from under all the details of a trip that I should be on right now. And I've so far been pretty successful in doing it. My next trip is in October, and I hope things will be eased off enough by then that I'll be able to take it.
So you had a trip that you had to cancel, and you're having to get things refunded and all of that kind of jazz, just like the traveler on the street.
Yeah, except that I'm like the traveler on the street. I'm involved in a minor sort of tug-of-war with a couple of people about where the law says they got to refund cash and they want to give me vouchers. But that's going on all over the place, as you probably know.
Yes, we were. We were just talking about that, sir, right before the news at the bottom of the hour, Ed, about the fact that yes, airlines and hotels to some extent, but especially airlines are allergic to giving people money. And in some cases, it's understandable. Everybody is taking a huge hit, but it's understandable that they want to conserve cash, but they've been more than a little bit backhanded about it.
Yeah,
let me jump in real quick. Mark's talked a little bit about it, but I want to, your thoughts in regards to when the airline should owe you cash and when they should be allowed to provide you with a voucher. I mean, is there what's the line?
Well, there's sort of what they call black letter regulation on this. If the airline cancels a flight before you do, the regulation says you must get cash back, and if it's a credit card transaction, it's supposed to be within 7 working days. And that's right there in black and white on DOT regulations. On the other hand, if you cancel before the airline does, then you're pretty much stuck with whatever they offer you in the way of vouchers. And the thing that surprises me about this is that the typical tin-eared airlines, when it comes to consumers, instead of fighting it and, in effect, breaking the rules, why don't they do what a few of the European lines have done and said, okay, if you take a voucher, we'll give you 120% value. I think that would make a difference to a lot of people rather than just sitting back there, we're not going to obey the law.
Well, and we did get a little bit of concession from them when they now have moved the vouchers to be good for 2 years instead of a year. And of course, in some cases, they're saying, well, if you don't use it, it won't go away. We'll give you your money back at the end of 2 years, to which any typical person might say, well, how about if you just give me my money back right now?
That's right, as the rules say.
So, Ed, as you look into your crystal ball, you were a travel writer for 9/11. You've seen this epidemic thing come along, pandemic, whatever label you want to put on it, SARS, HIV, all of these things that have come along during your travel career. What's your best guess as to how we come out of this, and how long it might take? Is this something, until there's a vaccination, people are really not going to be able to travel? What's your take on this?
I really don't have a take. This is uncharted territory. In the past, like 9/11, which was a very different kind of situation, the business rebounded pretty quickly. And it turned out to be not much more than a blip on the long-term trends. But I don't think we're in that situation now. I think it's going to be slower to come back. And honestly, your guess is as good as mine as how long that's going to take. I just have no idea.
Ed, you're up there in Ashland, Medford area, and those folks are really dependent on a summer theater festival that brings in scads of tourists who spend a lot of money, fill up hotels, fill up restaurants, shop in the shops, buy tickets in the theater, which employs a lot of people. That's not going to happen. What's going to happen in Ashland this summer without that theater festival?
Basically, the town's economy is going to go down the toilet. I'm not sure whether or not they'll have toilet paper to go with it. But it's going to be really bad here, just as it is in Hawaii and Vegas and Orlando and other places that are heavily dependent on tourists. And the local businesses here are going to take a bath. And I don't see any way out of that. I wish I did. But it's going to be very bad on the 2020 is going to turn out to be a terrible year for people in this business, particularly in destination business. And I think I'm afraid we're going to see a lot of bankruptcies and failures. And I wish I had could see a light at the end of the tunnel on this one, but I really don't.
You know, last year, the festival, wasn't it last year or was it the year before that you guys were smoked out? I don't know. Did they have it? It was during the fires?
It was the year before last, and the festival took a big hit, as did local businesses. Last year came back, not as far as they'd hoped, but at least it came back. We didn't have much in the way of fire or smoke around. But now, this time, it's way worse. I mean, the festival is already canceled the entire season until, I think, September or October. And even then, they're going to come back with a much smaller-than-usual program. So, I mean, that harm, essentially, has already been done. And I just think it's going to be a lot worse than the smoke year was. And that was bad enough.
A lot of these theatrical groups and nonprofits and things that put on special events and special festivals and the like are going to be taxed because in some cases they have some reserves, in some cases they don't. And so it may be up to the traveling public, as you mentioned, to pick out the ones they really like and support them. In some cases where you've bought tickets for theatrical events and stuff like that, instead of asking for a refund, you can donate that money. There are a lot of different ways. Any wise words before I let you go here, my friend? As a tour operator, I'm kind of waiting this out just like everybody else. We've sent out a lot of refunds, and now we wait. So what do we wait for?
We wait for some indication that the economy is going to get back together and start chugging along again. And I think from where I sit, I don't see that happening probably for at least 2 months. And I hope it's not much longer than that.
All right. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate it. We're going to check back in with you a little bit down the road here, and I'm counting on you to help get us through this because you've been through these things before.
Well, I wish I could offer more in the way of sage advice and so on, but I mean, everybody's sitting around trying to figure out what's going to happen, and it's not clear.
I think the fact, Ed, that you say you have no idea where we're going from here says a lot. You represent a lot of experience in the industry. Thank you again, my friend, for joining us. Tom, what's coming up next after the break?
All right, coming up after the break, and again, thanks, Ed. We're going to have Clayton's going to join you there in the office. We're going to talk about what restaurants are doing to kind of stay afloat. You know, we got a couple of interviews. We talked to some people earlier this week that run some restaurants, and I think you're going to know both of them. We're going to talk about how they're making it go, how they're providing takeout for you, all of that and more coming up next.
Great musical montage that I think travelers will really like from musicians all over the world. It's called The Wait by the band. You can find it on the list there at travelguysradio.com. Tom, this is a tough time for restaurants, not only for travelers, but, you know, Sacramento has become very much a restaurant town in the last 5 or 10 years. And we have a lot of great places to eat downtown in the burbs all over the place. And gosh, it pains me to drive by my favorite places and see nobody inside.
Well, you know, I have to agree 100%. And on top of that, you know, we enjoy our food and, you know, cooking at home is great, but, you know, it gets to be a point where enough is enough. And the restaurants are all doing their best to try to find a way to get their food to you, whether it's delivering it to your home or in this particular case, Steve Ryan and Christina at Rudy's Hideaway, they don't have a way to drive up and hand the food out the window, but they came up with a very unique idea, and that is to use their food truck. And let's go to the interview and hear what Steve has to say.
Well, we have a gourmet food truck that we, in the past, have gone to different events and special occasions and wineries with. But right now we have that park in our parking lot, and we're doing to-goes out of that. And I mentioned earlier, they passed a law during this period that you can also provide cocktails, beer, and wine off the food truck currently.
So what's the hottest item off the food truck? If I'm headed over there right after the radio show, what should I order?
The lobster roll or the prime rib dip? Those are the two biggest selling items.
Both of those would work for me.
Yeah, I tell you
which
what.
Which one can I get for you?
I'll take the clam chowder and some calamari.
Those are both on the truck as well. And then another featured item that we do that's very popular going into the evening is we do a prime rib dinner. And that includes the clam chowder, garlic mashed potatoes, and sourdough bread for $20. So that item is very popular right now, too, as you know, you work into the dinner hour.
Tell us a little bit about your safety standards, Steve. Everybody's concerned about how many people touch their food before they get it. Do you wear gloves? How do you hand it off? How's that working?
Well, one thing about food safety is all of these things that they tell you to do, wash your hands, don't touch your face, don't sneeze on stuff, that's all been standard food industry food safety practices for a long time.
Can they call ahead or you got to order right at the truck?
Currently, you have to order right at the truck. We're in the process of setting up phone to go orders for the truck, which will hopefully be implemented Monday. So then they can call ahead and then they can pay ahead. But right now you just come to the truck, you place your order. We have about a 5-minute ticket time. So once you order your food within 5 minutes, you're on your way.
Well, hey, Steve Ryan and Christina from Rudy's Hideaway, swing on by. Once again, the hours are what, 11 to 6?
11 to 6, Monday through Saturday.
All right, Rudy's Hideaway, you can see it right off the freeway. It's at 50 there in Hazel. Swing on by and get you Rudy's on the roll.
Well, there's a restaurant that's been around for 50 years and have figured out a way to try to make it happen for you. I had a chance to talk to Brian Bennett. Brian has Bennett's Kitchen and Bar and Market. They've only been open for 9 months. And we sat down with Brian and tried to figure out somebody in his situation, what he's up to. Brian, let's listen to him.
Tell us what Bennett's Kitchen Bar and Market is doing to provide, and I'll use the word safe because that's very, very important to people that are picking up food, safe takeout, curbside. How's it work there at Bennett's?
Well, it can work a bunch of ways, but the best way is to go to bennettskitchen.com, look at what menu items we have available for the day and our family meals, select what you want, order it. You can put in the time of day you want it ready, and you pay for it online, and the order goes to the kitchen, and it's ready when you come. And if you pull up outside and call us, we'll bring it right to your car, or you can come in. There's 6-foot distancing, and pick up your bag from us at the counter. It's very easy to do, and off you go.
Now, I understand that you specialize in like group family meals where you can, you know, pick one price. I'm looking at your chicken dinner winner, 4-pound rotisserie chicken and sides and so forth. So when people come, they can just order up an entire meal. Is that right?
That sure is. Since this entire COVID-19 thing began, we have 9 different family meals from $20 to $40. It goes from chicken to enchiladas to meatloaf to steak and to grilled salmon. And you pick the price point. They all come with sides and salads and that kind of thing. So you can make an easy dinner for 4, probably 5 or 6.
Brian, what seems to be the popular item that is flying out of the restaurant and into people's automobiles?
The family child fried chicken and the family dinner with the chicken enchiladas are the two top sellers. Close behind that is the tri-tip meal. This takeout business is growing because people are finding out about it. So we're encouraged, and we're here for the community, and the community's here for us. And we know we'll all get through this, and we're blessed to be able to provide the service and be involved with the community.
Wow and wow and wow. Tom, that sounds like two incredible. They listed 5 things there that I've now planned my dinner meals for all of next week.
Yeah, well, see, that's what happens when we do an interview like this at dinner time.
At dinner time, yes. Prime rib for a prime rib dinner for $20. I'm interested. Across sitting across from me, Thomas, here is Clayton Whitehead. Clayton lives in the Midtown area, and so I asked him because Midtown has become such a huge. Restaurants are the thing, you know. I mean, other than the Golden One Center, the restaurants are the reason that people go downtown. Clayton, you live in the middle of all that. What does that all feel like right now? I mean, there can't be a whole lot going on.
Well, I tell you, it is frighteningly quiet downtown in the Capitol Corridor. You know, I'm just used to such a hustle and bustle of activity. I live on 16th Street, just a couple blocks from the Capitol. And it's very, very quiet. But I want everybody to know, as I've been walking around, kind of trying to stay physically fit and keep my sanity on my daily walks, I find most of the restaurants downtown are open, but they're open with a lot of changes. The big thing, I think, is menu choices. You know, not everything they had perhaps was conducive for carryout. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were trying to cook things that a skeleton staff can turn out a little bit better. Maybe there's problems in the supply chain. But whatever the case, even your favorite places may not have that signature dish that you loved so much. A lot of big menu changes. Sometimes they're just posted on the window or the door. Sometimes they change daily. They have daily specials. Maybe they're on their websites. I think the best thing is probably to call your favorite place and maybe order ahead. They can have it ready. I've noticed a number of them are offering free delivery. Or they're participating with Grubhub or some of those delivery.
Yeah, companies. A lot of restaurants are picking up the delivery charge just to get the business. Yeah.
And then the other thing is what your gentleman from Rudy's just mentioned, and that is the hooch. You can now get alcohol to go in Sacramento, but there is a cravat. You have to buy food. So we're not going to be New Orleans yet with drive-up
hurricanes windows.
Just yet. but at this point, you can get a bottle of wine, and there are many, many restaurants I've seen that are offering specials there as well. There's a big beer hall across from my house that is offering growlers at a special price. They're, I think, 25% off, again, with the purchase of food. And you can even get mixed drinks to go. But you just have to buy the food. I just want to encourage everybody. I've worked in restaurants before. It is a hard business, and these people work extremely hard for their money. And I want to encourage everybody to support your favorite restaurant by patronizing it. You'll be doing your part to make sure they're still in business when all this is over.
Yeah, that's important.
Do you have time for one quick shout-out?
Absolutely.
Down around DoCo, you mentioned the Golden One Center, but there's a big entertainment complex there as well.
Right.
The old downtown plaza, now called DoCo. There's a barbecue joint down there, Sauced Barbecue, small Northern California company. They just have four outlets, one, of course, at DoCo. And they're offering the Meta Meal Cure Pack. Meta, M-E-D-I, emphasis on medical there. You can go online to their website. You can pay $15, which buys a full meal inclusive. They'll match it and then deliver two meals to medical personnel at a local hospital. You can do that at their website, which is www.saucedbbqandspirits.com. And I just thought that was really nice do-goodery and keeping it local.
That's a tremendous idea. Clayton, thank you so much. For that report. Any final thoughts there, Mr. Romano, before we head for home here?
No, I just want to reiterate what Clayton said, and that is that, you know, frequent your takeout favorite restaurants, curbside, however that works for you, because that little bit could make the difference between whether that restaurant is in a position to reopen again, full-fledged as we move forward. Just want to remind everybody to stay safe.